I would like to extend the offer for families and with children. If you would like to leave and go have some private time, you're welcome to stay if you like. A little time. I bet y'all have fun back there, don't you? Because they're always excited, they're always running like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Bye. I want to go too. Yeah. Okay. Roll on, roll on. See. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've brought us back to this place to yet again have the opportunity to worship you. You've kept us from dangers seen and unseen. You blessed us in ways that we weren't even expecting. You got us through. And so, Lord, now that we're here, let us focus our hearts and minds on what the Spirit has to say to us. Send down your Holy Spirit. Let it move and transform us, that we will never be the same. Hide your preacher behind the cross, that they will see all of you and none of me. And Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This is an intense story in the book of Acts. Just make sure y'all listening. This is an intense story. Saul, who will later become Paul, is out of control. A religious man is out of control. Somebody answered the phone, it could be Jesus. This religious man who Galatians and Philippians describe as the student of Gamaliel, a Hebrew of Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day, a Pharisee. I'm a big dog. I'm a religious man. But he's out of control. He wants to murder people. He is so mad that he's gone to the Pharisees and said, I want arrest warrants on everybody that follows the way. A religious man. I want to kill him. I want to bring him back to Jerusalem, because when we get him in Jerusalem, we're either going to string him high, we're going to tar him, or we're going to feed him to the wild animals. Give me a warrant. I want to kill him now. Have you ever been out of control? I can't wait till I get to church. I got something to say to him. I can't wait to see her, because she rolled her eyes at me. I'm going to roll my eyes at her. Where's the pastor? I want to know why this. Where's the board? I want to know that. Religious folk. Oh, don't get quiet now. Have you ever been out of control? That whatever is going on in you just takes you out of control. Paul is raving. I can see it for raving from something on TV. He's on the horse. And he's got his posse. I'm getting some Christians today. But you know what? God will change your plans. Because the Bible says as he's on the road to Damascus, he's ready to kill. He's ready to give somebody a piece of their mind. They're ready to just say what they got to say and get it off their chest, because I read that. God goes, boom. Oh, what do I mean? You know, you're on your way to somebody's house and you got something you got to say, but you stuck in traffic. Oh, you know, you've just typed up this juicy little email. I can't wait to do it, do. All of a sudden, your internet stopped working. You know, you got something ready for your boss to say. I got to tell my boss, I'm tired of him. I got something to say, and here he comes to me. I'm going to give you a raise, and all of a sudden, you coughing. God will disturb your plans on your way to do something. Because God has something in store for you to do that is contrary to what your plans are. God does a divine, you see these divine lightning and the sound of a voice, they're kind of like divine moments. And all of a sudden this light overshadows Paul and Saul has nothing to do but fall to the ground. The voice says, "Saul, Saul, homeboy, what you doing? Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul goes, "Is it you, Lord?" He had some idea. And the Lord says, "You know, you're persecuting me, the church, but, B-U-T, but get up and go to where I'm sending you. Even though I know you want to do these things, but get up and go." And the Bible says that Saul got up, and the rest of his posse stands there, and they're like, "Whoa, what happened to him, dude?" And they grab him by the hand, and they take him to where he needs to go. But he's going with a different purpose this time. And he gets there, but what's interesting is that his eyes are wide open, but he can't see. His eyes are wide open, but he can't see. God has to close our eyes sometimes to things so that we can see God at work in our lives. See, we get all caught up. We see stuff. We see that we don't have any money in the bank, but we don't see that God will provide. I'll say that again. We can see that there's no money in the bank, but we forget that God will provide. We know we may be brokenhearted, but we forget that God is a healer. But sometimes, as I said it in London, sometimes God has to knock us on our bum to get our attention. And Saul got knocked down, that he had to rely on the community and God to get him to the place that God really wanted him to be. What's interesting is when Saul got to his destination, for 3 days he was in darkness. He couldn't see. And I want to suggest to you, my sisters and brothers, that when we are sitting in darkness, we have to put on our night vision lenses. You missed that one. When you are sitting in darkness, you have to look at things differently with different lenses. Like the military at night, when they go out to do maneuvers, if they want to see what's going on in the darkness, they put on different lenses, so they can see what's going on at night. We have to do the same thing. It's use your night vision. In other words, use your spiritual lenses to see what is really going on in the midst of the darkness that we are in. I'll give you an example. When you're in your house and you got the power on and you're cooking and cleaning and reading and watching TV and having a wonderful time walking up and down the stairs, but you hear outside that there's thunder and lightning, and you go, "Ooh, it must be a storm outside." And you go about your way doing your Sudoku and you're reading the paper, and all of a sudden the lights are out. You put on your night vision because all of a sudden when you saw that lamp, it was a lamp, but now you're sitting in darkness and you got to give your eyes a chance to adjust to see what is that image. You can't run around in the house like you used to. You got to slow down your steps and feel your way because things are different now. Because if you run around in the light, you're going to bump into something. Remember when you bumped your toe? You have to slow down and put on your night vision so you can see what is going on. I know there's a table right there, but I gotta slowly move around it. You gotta slow down and use your night vision to see what it is around you. The same as it is with spiritual things. We are struggling and we're going through different transitions and healings and hurts in this congregation. But it's time to put on your night vision so that you can step back and say, where is God in all this darkness? Because you can see it in the light. I see this and I see that. But that's when we put our own assumptions and our own ideas on it. But when you get quiet and you sit back and you go, where's God in this? In all this darkness, that's where the spiritual transformation occurs. So Paul is sitting there for 3 days. Saul is sitting there. And I wonder what he was thinking to himself. But something happened. And the same thing can happen for us, our sisters and brothers, when we're sitting in darkness, when we don't understand or can see what is going on, we can discern God is already here. God was there in the light. God is there in the darkness. We can ask ourselves the question, what is God trying to show me about my behavior? I wonder if Saul was sitting there, that the Holy Spirit said to him, dude, why do you want to kill everybody? What you so mad about? Why are you so upset? Why do you want to murder people? Maybe we have to get knocked on our bums for God to sit us down to say, I need you to work on you. I'm going to take away the distractions so that you can work on you. I know you want to blame everybody else. I know you can't wait to cuss them out. I know you can't wait to tell them off. I know you can't wait to get even. I know all that stuff. But the problem ain't them, it's you. And I need to spend time with you because you're not persecuting everybody. You're persecuting me because I have a greater purpose for your life than running around trying to kill people. You are blocking your own blessing, but I need to shut you down, knock you on your bum for a little while so you can spend time with me so I can show you what I need you to do to fulfill my purpose with you and through you. It's tight, but it's right. Paul is not only, thank you, Holy Spirit, Paul is trying to kill the Christian community. The way in this text is talking about the Christian community. He wants to kill the Christian community when it was the Christian community that was the ones that were going to help him get to become the person that he needed to be. How are you killing each other with the smallest muscle in your mouth? Saul was ranting threats and mad and anger, but how are we killing the Christian community with our words? How are we doing it? Paul wants to destroy that. We need a Christian community to hold us together. And as a matter of fact, it was the people that were with Saul that grabbed him by the hand and took him where he needed to be. My sisters and brothers, we're all on this journey and we all need to be grabbing each other by the hand and taking us to the place where God is trying to take us to be. Does that make sense? That's what Christian community is about. Maybe the time, instead of asking why did this happen and why did that person let that happen and why did that, what is God trying to say to me? What is God calling us to do? What is God asking of you? What is God asking your purpose to be? What is your ministry? What is your mission? Because they say in the South, if you point one finger, you got three pointing back at you. Do the math. Use your night vision. You know, my grandmama, in the middle of a storm, we was different in the South. Don't ask me why. But we would be playing in the house, and TV and toys are going, and there'd be a storm, and my grandma would say, turn the TV off, get quiet, everybody get quiet, go sit down. Go sit down somewhere. And the lights would go off, power would knock out in the power, and we had to sit there in the darkness and use our vision to listen and to see what's going on around us and use that time to just be quiet and be present. That is what God is calling us to do. In the midst of this transformation that's going on in this fabulous community, is to use your night vision to say, what is God really showing and asking of us right now? But you know what? Here's the thing. It's hard and it's painful. Because when you have to do the hard work with Christ, that's when we want to get distracted and go get on Facebook. When God goes, remember when you said that? I need to talk to you about that. Ooh, I got to go do the laundry. But it's in those moments when God is trying to show you the stuff that is hurting you, is that when you need to stay in the midst of the pain, because that's where the healing begins. How do I know? Because the psalmist already told me. The psalmist has a testimony to say, you know what? When I was down, God pulled me up. When I was broken, God healed me. When I was dying, God brought me back to life. God is my favor. God has favor with me. My sisters and brothers, we have a testimony too. Because if you stand back and look back over your life, you can say that it was nothing but God that got you through what you got through. And if the same God that got you through that situation and that situation and that heartache and that disappointment and that setback and that whatever, that same God will get you through. Yeah. That same God will get you through what you're going through right now. You don't believe me, the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God that brought the Israelites through the Red Sea will get you through your situation. The same God that was with the Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego in the fiery furnace, that was walking with them through the flame, and they came out unburnt, is the same God that's going to get you through the fire that you are in. The same God that was with Joseph down in the pit and got him out is the same one that's going to bring you up out of your pit. So what you worried about? In the midst of your darkness, put on your night vision. And I am truly convinced that when you put on the night vision glasses and you see that God will pull you through, you will remember on that third day when Jesus was in the tomb, when everybody thought he was dead, on that third day in the midst of darkness, he resurrected into light. And that same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead on that third day is the same one that will get you through the darkness. And this church is going through darkness into a marvelous light. And you will never, ever be the same. And how do I know? Because Saul became Paul. Saul became Paul, and Paul immediately started preaching to the Gentiles. Paul, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, the apostle Paul, was a changed man. And if God can change a crazy, out of control, raving lunatic like Saul. Don't you think he'll do it for you? My sisters and brothers, you don't need your night vision lenses to come to the table. If you ever doubt that you can't make it another day, if you don't think that God is going to pull us through what we're going through, wherever you may be in your journey, when you come to the table and you receive that wine and you receive that bread, as you chew on it, allow your senses to remind you that there is hope. And that God loves you, and that God cares about you, and that God will not leave you where you are, because he has some place for you to go and he's got things for you to do. But you got to do your work. But God will give you everything that you need. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his angels continue to be encamped about you and give you peace. Amen.
Allow me to move off script. First, I'd like to thank Reverend Deborah for such a wonderful and inspiring message. Second, I'd like to point out to you, and especially those who may be new to us, Reverend Nathan, our senior pastor, is on vacation, and Reverend Deborah stepped in. So I want that to be known. And thirdly, we had a change in our scriptural reading today. Some of you may have picked it up between the reader board and what was printed in the program. I just wanted to acknowledge that there was a change in the scriptural reading. With that, we're going to be back on program here, and I'd ask that you join with me in the prayers of the people. Now, at the entryways to each door, we have prayer books. Feel free to enter your prayers of need and praises into those books as you enter or leave. If you forget, there is a spot on the connection card, that white card in the pew in front of you, to enter your prayer needs. And if things happen during the week, use email. Email the church office here, or pick up the telephone and call. Those needs are passed on to our prayer team. We have an active prayer team that lift up those needs, those rejoices throughout the week. With that said, would you join with me now as we lift up our prayers of the people? Most gracious and loving God, we pray for freedom and tolerance, for immigrants and migrants, wherever they may be in the world. We ask your blessings on world hunger, world homelessness, and world brokenness. Loving God,